Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at, 2 weeks ago, we looked at God's love for us. And then last week, we looked at our love for the brethren. See, you can't love the brethren unless you have the love of God inside of you. It just doesn't work. That's what God says. And He has made it abundantly clear that He is the key. Listen to this. He is the key to love. God is love. And I cannot love unless I know God. Unconditional, true love. Sure, we can selfishly love. But is that really love? So my love for you is rooted in Christ. And without it, well, it's impossible. Our third thought this week. Some of the hardest characters to love, yes, are the brethren. But the Lord had love not just for His own children, but He had love for the lost. Let's pray and then we'll get into this morning's message. Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for how good You are to us. God, I'm thankful that You, through dying on the cross, expressed Your love to us and has given us the ability to love others. God, I pray first and foremost that we would get in on the love of God. Secondarily, God, I pray that we would have love for Your people. God, I pray that we would have true compassion for those that don't know You. That our life would be a testimony. And the words that we say in our approach to those that are lost would be one of true compassion and true love. Lord, change our hearts. And Lord, help us to see people as You see people. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look in the Word of God, turn to Ephesians chapter 2. That'll be our first verse. This morning, my son, Hudson 7, sitting at the table, he's like, I can't wait to get to church. Now, as his dad, I'm excited to hear words like that. Man, Hudson, what are you excited about, buddy? Junior church? Yeah, I'm thinking junior church. Maybe even Sunday school. Seeing his friends. Son, why are you excited to go to church? I think I left my watch there, he said. I said, buddy, do you remember taking it off, he said? Or I asked him. He's like, no. But I've looked everywhere else and I can't think of any. I had it yesterday and we were at church yesterday, so it must be there. About 2 minutes, maybe 10 minutes later, all of a sudden an alarm goes off. Beep, 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 beep. My watch, he says, right? He goes, look, it was under the table. He had misplaced his watch. His watch was lost. The Bible has a phrase in Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 5, it defines, in God's eyes, what lost means. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5 says, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved. The fact of the matter is, in definition of being lost, it's not that you're just misplaced. Sometimes you lose your keys. They're selling devices now. They click onto your keys. Tile makes them. $25. and I'll tell you exactly on your phone, because we don't lose our phones, but we lose our keys.
How about that?
Yeah. And it'll tell you exactly, put this in your purse, put this on anything, and it'll show you exactly where it is. Is that what it means to be lost in the eyes of God? Simply misplaced? No. No, it's much more severe than that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, even when you were dead in sins. To be lost according to in the eyes of God is to be actually spiritually dead. Well, how did that happen? One sin. For the wages of sin is death. The true definition of the word lost in our scriptures is to be spiritually dead. If we look at Luke chapter 19, Luke 19, a verse that was on one of our banners. The second one over here. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man has come to seek. How many of you used to play as a kid hide and seek? Anybody? We have a three-bedroom house, one bathroom, about 1,700 square foot ranch. And we have five kids, and they play hide and seek in that small area. They've hidden some very unsafe and unique places over the years. I've been asked, Dad, can you put me in the oven? No, I'm not going to do that. But we found some good hiding spots. And the game of hide and go seek is, you hide, I'm going to count to 10 or 15 or whatever it is, and then I'm just going to come find you. Jesus Christ didn't want to just come find you. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. The picture on our seek and save is one of a rescue helicopter over troubled seas. And when we think of saving, am I drowning? Am I dying? Do I need to be pulled out of a car? We have some firemen in our midst, and they see some awful scenes where people physically need to be saved out of danger. And you say, and we read this and say, I don't need to be saved. I'm healthy. Look at me. Drove in. Able to feed myself. As far as I know, I have no ailments. But we're lost. And let's remember the definition of lost. Spiritually dead. Therefore, saving is necessary. God came to seek and to save that which was lost. He's not just looking in the oven for you. He's not just looking underneath the couch. He's looking for you to save you. Each and every one of us. He's not just looking to count the hairs on your head or see the color of your eyes or to have a cup of tea together. No. God is looking for you to save you because you're lost. And again, our definition of lost isn't just misplaced. It's spiritually dead. He's looking up for us to actually give us life. Matthew 1:21 says this, "For she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from what? Their sins." He's not looking to just have the largest social group in the world. He's not looking to just have the greatest amount of followers, the greatest name among all names. He's not looking for that. He came to this earth. He came to die on the cross. Why? For what was the purpose? But because you were lost. Matthew 1:21 is the announcement of the birth of Christ. His whole life was to save you And again, not save you from drowning, not save you from a burning building, not save you from out of a car accident or from some ailment. He's saving you from your sin. The consequences of sin far exceeds any of those scenarios we talked about. Because the consequence of sin is eternal. Point number one this morning, the definition of lost is to be spiritually dead. Go back to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Understand this. This happens for everybody. Well, I come from a wealthy family. Doesn't matter. I come from a poor family. Doesn't matter. Well, I grew up on the east side. Doesn't matter. West side. I grew up, even if you grew up in Jerusalem itself, you're still lost. I'm a lady. Doesn't matter. I'm a man. Doesn't matter. All of us were lost. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Maybe as a lost person, you've tried. You've tried to understand the things of God. Maybe before you came to Christ, you sat down and said, I want to know God. I need to know these things. But the natural man in verse 14 says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are how? Spiritually discerned. The natural man. Yesterday I was up at the hospital seeing Mr. Colopy. Where's Miss Colopy? Is she here? Oh, in there. Okay. I looked over. She's usually over here. Went up and saw Mr. Colopy, and Lord willing, he's coming home on Wednesday. Wednesday. He's looking good. He's got a short haircut, all that kind of stuff. He's excited about getting out of there. He was telling me what he was eating. I have noodles and butter, and then at night I have noodles and sauce. Like, I think he's on a noodle diet. Which, for the Italian, I'm good. That sounds all right to me. But he's coming home. And on my way down, I ran into the Runyons. And there was little Caleb. He's in our school. And his little brother Josiah he's been alive for, I don't know, a couple months? Month and a half? Has not been out of the hospital yet. He's gained weight. He's looking to have surgery. Not this week, next week. And then a couple more weeks, and then, Lord willing, he'll get to come home. Praise the Lord. That little boy is in his natural status. Say, what do you mean? The natural man. That's the man that's been born. We are all one time natural. Natural. By nature. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. How you were born, you can't get this. It doesn't make sense. Why? Because you're lost by definition. And lost by definition, that's why it was very important that we define what it means to be lost, is not just misplaced, it's not just underneath the table, it's not just in the seat cushions in the car, it's spiritually dead. So how could we possibly expect a lost person to understand spiritual things? Because they are spiritually discerned. You can't. It's like asking a dog to learn algebra. He can't. I'm not going to even get into dog stories right now. But the natural man, the depth of being lost is incredibly significant. It's not just like, I'll just deal with that. It's not like a cold. You know, Mrs. Rice notified me as we were shaking hands. She's like, this is not a good time of the year to be shaking hands with people. She's like, I'm going to have to get my hand sanitizer out. Why? Because you all are diseased. I hear you. It's not like that. Sin isn't just like, well, I'll just deal with the cold. No. The consequences or the depth of our sin being lost means that I can't understand the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. I can't understand spiritual things because I'm spiritually dead. It's deep. It's not just like a common cold. It's not even, some of our people had the flu this week. That's worse. But sin in their lost state is worse than that. You made it through. Here you are, right? Mrs. Wilson was sick a couple weeks ago or last week. The Bible tells me in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Again, I don't care how much money you have in your bank account. You understand that when you get to heaven, you're not going to be able to empty that checking account and say, let me in. That's not what he's looking for. You can't go in and cry pity and say, I never had anything in this life. You need to let me in. I lived an awful, horrible, bad life. Therefore, I deserve heaven. No, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us have earned salvation. None of us have earned heaven. Look at John chapter 3. Say, well, that's not fair. I was born that way. That was my natural state. What am I supposed to do? Romans 3:19 says this, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men, please understand there, that is not just like the male part of humanity. That is all mankind. I believe every word of God is pure. I'm not looking to change it, but if you have a hard time understanding that, that is, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and mankind loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You can't tell me, nor will you be able to tell God, I never sinned. No, we have each chosen to sin. No one falls into sin. I willfully have lied. I willfully have taken the candy bar from the store and put it in my pocket and walked out. So you do that? No, but you understand. I willfully was disobedient to parents. I did that. I willfully did not glorify God how he ought to be glorified. I willfully took his name in vain. No one had a gun to my head saying, sin now. No, I chose it. I chose it. We were lost because we chose to be lost. Say, what's the big deal? It is a big deal. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Because there's a penalty. There's a penalty. These are hard verses to read, and I understand that, but the depth of being lost is not just dealing with a cold. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's severe. That's not my plan, that's God's plan. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. The penalty for those that are lost is severe and never ending. Point number one, the definition of the lost. Point number two, the depth of the lost. When I study these things and I read these things, it breaks my heart. And it ought to. Because I go about my day and I conduct my life as normal. I run my errands. I go here and I go there. And all around me are people like this. And we get this vision or lack thereof of seeing any of it. That's why this theme, I think, is important, that it would change us. That I would put on the glasses and I wouldn't see just, hey, the cashier, but I would see a lost young lady that's possibly dealing with the separation and the penalty of God. Lord, as I've experienced your love personally, may I now have a love for the brethren. But now may I have a love for the lost. That's not natural. It's supernatural. It's spiritual. And it's something that God places inside your heart. All of these things are true. And if they were all true, that should affect us in some way. Matthew chapter 19. Our third point, and our final point. Matthew chapter 19, look at verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Those are pretty strong words. And I say unto you, it is easier... My dad just got back from Mexico, may I say. They have this thing where they go once a week for every year. And I think it's Cabo. Anybody knows where that is? Right? I think it's West Coast Mexico. And this time, they did this little thing where they got to ride camels. So last night we were over at my dad's house and he's showing us pictures of him and my stepmom on a camel. They got these little hard hat things on. He looked like Lawrence of Arabia, honestly. And there he is, and he's like, I put a cucumber in my mouth and the camel ate the cucumber out of my mouth. You paid for that. Like, okay, that's fine. Mighty beasts, big thing. They had the silhouette, and there they all were riding these things, and my dad and stepmom were on a camel. And the camel looked happy about it. Like, it wasn't like, I can barely... That's what they were doing. Have you ever seen a camel? Big. Yeah. You rode a camel, didn't you, Mrs. Hartman? All right. Then said Jesus in verse 24, and again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. I asked our Walker Bible Baptist Church seamstress to borrow a needle this morning, and Mr. Lauk brought one for me. So thank you. The eye of a needle. How many of you sew here? Anybody sew? Okay, good. The eye of the needle is not the sharp end, but the hole at the beginning. Can you see the hole? Brother Stutler's like, no, I can't even see the needle. Yeah. So yesterday I saw a picture of my father and stepmom on this mighty beast, and now I hold a needle in my hand. It is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Say, well, that's not me. I ain't rich. Oh, we're rich. I look at that and I look at a camel and I think, there's no way. I could barely fit a thread through this. I would need a tool to get a thread through this. There's no way I could get a camel through that. And his disciples thought the same thing. In verse 25, when his disciples heard it, they said, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Lord, who? If that's the prerequisite, if that is your explanation, then who can be saved? And this is so very important, verse 26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Say, I want to see God put a man or a camel through this. Don't worry about that. We ought to want to see lost be saved. See, this is how God gets glory. Because there's no way, it's impossible for me to save anybody. With man, it is impossible. You're right. You could never get a camel through this. You're right. You could never save anybody. No man can save another man. It's impossible. But with God. See, God gets glory when someone trusts Christ. Because it has nothing to do with you and I. I love the song that the kids sang this morning. I don't know if they got a hold of my message because these thoughts are here. Mark chapter 10. We'll look at it briefly and then we'll be done. Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, who do we find? Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Quiet, quiet, Bartimaeus, quiet. But he didn't. But he cried the more, a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Why is he shouting? Can't see him. He's blind. Jesus stood still, commanded him to be called. They called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, arise, and he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, arose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Man, so much in this passage. But what did Jesus do? He healed a blind man. He took a man that couldn't see. For the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Why not? Because they're spiritually discerned. God, I want to see you, but I just can't see it. All right, come to me. Come to me. I'll take a blind person and help them see. And just like he did back in Mark chapter 10 with Bartimaeus, he does with mankind today. He takes blind, lost individuals and he gives them sight. I love that Bartimaeus does something that he's never been able to do. What? After he met Christ, after his eyes were opened up, he followed somebody. Say, well, what's the big deal about that? Blind men can't follow people. Why? Because they can't see where they're going. you understand that when you come to Christ, you have an opportunity to follow Christ? Say, I want to follow Christ. I want my family to be led in the things of God, but I want to do it my way. No, you can't do it your way. Well, I'm gonna fix all this. You can't fix it. It's impossible. You need Christ. John chapter 11, we meet a man. What's wrong with the man in John chapter 11? He's dead. Lazarus. He's a good friend of Jesus. Mary and Martha, they're Lazarus' two sisters. Go to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, in John chapter 11, verse 1. And God is telling us, John chapter 11, for what purpose? Why is he telling the story of Lazarus? In verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but, why? For the glory of God. Why do people get saved? Why do people that were lost get saved? What is the purpose of that? Well, it's to save their soul, but equally, God gets glory. God is glorified in that. Why? Because something happens that no man can do. Let's go to the hospital, heal somebody. You can't do that. Hey, grab a hand of somebody and when you die, bring him into heaven. You can't do that. You can't save anybody. Jesus Christ is the only one that can save anybody. Just like he's the only one that can give sight to blind men. And here we find a dead man, verse 15. For I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent, why? Ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. If we jump over to verse 25. Jesus said unto her, look at what Jesus says to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. No one has that power. Let's go to the cemetery today. You reach down into those coffins and you grab that person's hand. You call them out. Their name's written right on the tombstone. Johnny, come forth. Stay there, Johnny. Gladys, come forth. That's not happening. No matter how loud you yell, you have no power to give life to those that are dead. Do you understand how important our understanding the definition of being lost is? Spiritually dead. Yes, you're moving around. Yes, you're driving cars. Yes, you're shopping at Wegmans. Yes, you're conducting a normal life. But spiritually, people all around us are dead. And there's nothing you can do about it except bring them to Christ. That's what they need. They don't need some elixir. They don't need some sort of pill. They don't need some sort of experience. They need Jesus Christ. Just like Bartimaeus and just like Lazarus. How's it go for Lazarus? It goes great for Lazarus. Look at verse 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he had been dead for 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? I wonder if people are not getting saved and coming to Christ because we don't believe God can do it. He asked Martha that very question. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it. They may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. And he that was lost came forth. First, we saw the definition of what it means to be lost. We saw the depth of being lost. Here, we see doing the impossible. We see the eyes of the blind being opened. We see life coming to dead people. So that sounds kind of spooky. Is that like zombie stuff? No, that's lost people walking around thinking that they have their whole life under control. In their heart, they know that it's just spiraling. And they need Jesus Christ. There's no hope outside of Christ. And he does it all this way. Why? Because he'll get glory. See, if you were witty enough and smart enough and you could do all these things, you know what? People would make you God. But that's not how it is. No, he uses us, but he gets glory. Last set of verses, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Oh, that God would give us a vision and to see people in that state. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. Okay. Sometimes we read verses and we think we know what it means, and we think we know what it says. But let's be careful when we look at this. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit, and look at the result. Unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Do you see that? The unfeigned love of the brethren was placed there after you obeyed the truth. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How does a person come to Christ? Through the Word of God. Everything I know about salvation is held in this book. Everything I know about heaven and sin and hell and all the consequences, all the verses that we looked at, it's all here. We're not looking at what some doctor said. We're looking at what God says. It's the power of the Word of God. The Bible says, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. Oh, sure, you look pretty right now, but you know that there's an end date. I mean, we look outside, those flowers that are sitting right by there. Oh, in a few months, those are going to look pretty. But right now, they look dead. Why? You and I are just like that. There's coming a time, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. This is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Obedience to the truth produces a love in my heart for those that don't have it. Salvation is through the word of God. And if we're going to reach the lost, it will only be done through the Word of God and faith in Christ. The only way that Bartimaeus received sight was through Christ. The only way Lazarus was brought back to life was through Christ. The only way that someone can be saved is through Christ alone. Last verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses, and then we'll finish up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are what? Lost. Let's again think about that definition. Spiritually dead. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Who's that? Satan. Satan's trying to blind you from being saved. For we preach not ourselves. Who helped Bartimaeus? Christ. Who reached Lazarus? Christ. Who saves mankind? Christ. That's it. There's only one name to answer that question. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. There's our role. We're the servants of Christ. So, we have a mailman, a retired mailman in here. Their job is not to print the letters. Their job is to just deliver the message. Sometimes they knock at your door. Package, how many of you? We love the Amazon packages, right? We don't like the credit card bills. Credit card, all that stuff. But that's our job. We are the servants of Christ. We take the message of Christ to others. For God, our final verse. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Because God has made himself known in my heart, I now then have a responsibility, but Lord, help me to have a love, that I might pass on the knowledge of Christ to someone else. It's amazing to me that God could take such a perfect story, such a perfect scenario, and trust it to such imperfect people. But he does. You understand that the gospel is not contingent upon you. Say, I'm no good. I'm not good enough to deliver the message. You most certainly are. Because you're not the one saving anybody. You're just introducing. We're Mary and Martha. We're just trying to get Jesus to the lost man. We're just trying to get Jesus to the dead man. That's our job. And the problem it's not in our heart. The problem is we go each and every day walking by, and the thing that's most important we fail to consider. And as the Spirit of God leads us into being obedient, what did it say? To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, that we would be sensitive to the leading of the Lord, that when he says, tell that one right now, that we would do that. But the problem is we don't love it. The love of God has made a difference in my life. Changed me. When I was 10 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ. Have I been faithful all those years? No. When the Lord said go, I said no. Many times. I was afraid. I don't know what I was afraid of. I said no. But the Lord's looking for some people to deliver the message. Would we be willing to do that as servants of Christ, to do that? Introduce somebody to Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Week one, the love of God and the difference it made personally in my life. Last week, our love for the brethren. This week, the love for the lost. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, would you maybe allow someone to share with you or show you from the Scriptures what it means to be saved? And if you're saved here today, and you know, and you haven't been a faithful servant for Jesus' sake, as it says, maybe you want to come and ask the Lord, Lord, forgive me, and give me in my heart a love for the lost. It's amazing what we do for those that we love. We give them the best piece of cake. We make incredible sacrifices for those that we love. It'd be amazing to this world what we would do for them if we truly loved them. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless this time of invitation now, and Lord, something that was said here today, I pray that it would be a help, an encouragement for the purpose that you would get honor and glory. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, if Lord touched your heart about something, you want to come forward and pray, you can do that.